Hey, it's good to be back this evening. This is it's always a pleasure, especially to be with the Sunday night crowd. I love the more relaxed atmosphere. I love that it's just a few of us, and it just feels like family. You know, when you're at church, it's not like you're sort of like family. You are family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and I love that. So it's like a big old family reunion every time we get together. And so Paige and I met a lady in the Barnes & Noble. I don't know if I've told y'all this story yet or not, but we were down in Mobile, Alabama, and we met a girl, a lady in Barnes & Noble. Got to talking to her. She was looking at a book about art therapy, which is Paige's training, and before she was a stay-home mom, that was her profession. And struck up a conversation. This lady's daughter was going to be going to school looking into it, so she was looking into books on the subject, and we talked to her for a little while, and we left there and realized that, and the whole time, Paige and I both felt like this lady's a believer, and we weren't talking about spiritual things, but we could just sense it and tell it. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had that you can see and sense the Spirit of God in someone a lot of times? And so just the fruit of the Spirit coming out in their lives, and just the joy that comes, the peace that comes in the heart of another believer. And so before we left, we walked out the door talking, and somehow another one of us, either the two of us or this particular lady, brought up the subject of spirituality. And we figured out that, in fact, she was born again. She was a believer. And man, we left there, we were hugging each other. We'd never met this woman before. We're not from Mobile. I don't think she was even from Mobile. We were just in the town at the same time, ran into each other at a Barnes & Noble, and we're hugging each other, literally saying, like, we will never see one another on this side of heaven again, but one day we're going to share eternity with you, and you're our sister in Christ. And it was just such a cool experience. And so I kind of want to talk a little bit along those lines tonight, from the Gospel of John, where we were this morning. Have y'all enjoyed looking and just at Jesus every time? That's been good. Physically, you unfortunately have to look at me, and I'm sorry for that. But spiritually speaking, we're looking at Jesus, and I love that. So if I can get over here to my... had my ribbon bookmark in this morning's passage. So John chapter 16 is where we're going to be. John chapter 16. And we're just going to read one verse tonight in terms of our standing. And again, it may be that our senior adult crowd, because of a double knee surgery, amen, where's my friend at, may not want to stand up right now. Not double, just one, okay. But if you're unable, but she's going to say, I am able, I'll do a backflip right now. I love that. God bless it. I love you. So thank you for standing. But I always like to say that, because sometimes if a person can't stand and they're sitting back there and we're kind of looking at them, they should never feel bad. Am I right? Because we've all been there. So, all right. In verse 33, the Word of God in John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Wow, that is powerful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for everyone that's here tonight. Thank you, God, that we're family, and we enjoy seeing one another. And it's just so good to be in your house. Thank you for this word tonight, and we just pray, God, that you'd speak through me. You know I need you. God, everyone here, they couldn't care less what I have to offer, but they've gathered because you're here, and they've gathered because you have a word for us. And so we ask for your own glory, and for the sake of the name of Jesus, that you speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you all for standing. I appreciate that. What is the place... the place in the world that you are at the most peace? Think about that. The most peaceful place. We used to take students to Camp Siloam every year, and there was a guy, he was a director up there, and his way of trying to earn money to build a new cafeteria, which by the grace of God looks like they're finally going to build, is he would bring us in that last day of camp when we're all worn out and tired, all of us, leaders, and it brings us into a nice air conditioning place, because that was back when they had the swamp coolers and the screen doors and all that, and bugs everywhere, and you got in the bunk depending on whether you wanted to get peed on or whatever, you top bunk or bottom. I'm just being honest with you, man. I'm telling you, man, camp is, if you've never been to camp with a bunch of youth and children, it is an experience. How many of y'all have done that, by the way? You know, there we go. You are the veterans of camp. You know what I'm talking about. And you want to get on that top bunk for sure. And we, he would bring us in, he'd sit us down, and he would begin to go through in our heads, and he would say, "Now I want y'all to think about your favorite place at home. Guys, maybe it's your recliner." And he'd have us close our eyes, and it's something nice and cool in there. And he'd say, "Or maybe it's the back porch with your rocking chair." And whatever, and we'd kind of be going through, and man, I'm telling you, we'd be missing home. And so I kind of want to do something a little bit similar with you all tonight. But what is the place on this earth that you find the most peace? If you're trying to calm down at night before you go to bed, you think of that place. All right? This afternoon, just for fun, I posted on my Facebook that question, what is the place? And I got several responses. One guy who's a friend of mine, he's a big outdoorsman guy. In fact, he may have been, I don't know if he's been here or not, but do y'all know Scotty Johnson? Has Scotty come here for anything? I don't remember, but he said, "Man, a deer stand." He said, "I have the most peace in the world on a deer stand." And then another guy who's on staff across town at another church, a big fisherman, he said, "Man, the lake." And one lady said, "Well, it's changed over the years, but it's in my backyard and the rocking chair looking out towards the pond." And I couldn't see that. I mean, I kind of imagined that. But for her, that was the place. And it's kind of the same with me. I mean, it's changed over the years. I remember when I was a kid there in the Delta, just on the east side of Crowley's Ridge on the farm where I essentially think of as home. There was a place out in the woods that I would go, and only I assumed in my head, and it's probably true, that only I knew where this place was. And it was along a creek bed, and there were some low-hanging limbs that just kind of hung out over me there, and like a canopy. Man, I'd be squirrel hunting, and I'd have my, 410 single shot there, and I'd be sitting down, I'd just be relaxing, and it was just a peaceful place. I remember going fishing. There was another place I'd get beef jerky, and I'd get sunflower seeds. And yeah, I don't think this is weird, but this is what I did. And I'd get, some kind of glass bottle drink, because it just was that much better in a glass bottle. And then I'd mix in some crickets, man, some earthworms, and get nasty with it. And but to me, that was peaceful. And so I'm saying all this for one reason. It would be great if we could stay in that place. Whatever that place is for us, it would be great if we could just always be there. When things are stressful, when they're tumultuous, we want to run to that place. I was reading an article the other day in a magazine about a guy, and he was a big, it was called My Mayberry, which if y'all know me, y'all know I'm a huge, huge, huge obsessed fan with the Andy Griffith Show. And so it caught my attention immediately, and I began to read this article, and he was talking about how he'd grown up, I think it was in South Korea, on a base, maybe an Air Force base, and the particular place that he'd grown up and how idealistic it was and peaceful and perfect and no crime, and the kids played together, they're all about the same age and all these different things. And then he told the story about how he came back there as an adult and had an opportunity to speak about 2 miles from where he had grown up on what was now the center of the base. So he decided that he, in between speaking times, was going to go over and see where he grew up. And he got over there, and he said there were no buildings. They were all gone. There were weeds everywhere growing up through the concrete. And it had become two things. It was the city dump. So this large city now dumped things there, and it was a place that homeless people lived because they would scavenge through to find sources of food in the dump. And so it was, in his mind, it was just like, this was my perfect place in the world, And now this is what it's become. And he compared that. There's apparently, I never saw this, but there was apparently a Saturday Night Live sketch where Ron Howard went back to Mayberry. And Mayberry had become a slum. I mean, it had become a place where drugs were being sold and all kinds of awful things. And the point was, the humor was, is that it was so idealistic. It was so perfect. It was, I mean, the sheriff didn't even wear a gun. You had Gomer and Goober doing their thing. And I mean, it just was the Mayberry that we all love, and then it had become this. And to bring it all full circle, this farm that I lived on over in Levesque, Arkansas, if you're ever driving on 64 Highway from the little town of Wynn towards Memphis, you'll drive past a little community called Levesque, and there's a big cotton gin there that's out of use, and that was home. And so whenever I think of the only place on this earth that feels like home to me, it's that farm. But the last time I was there was maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, a little while ago, and we went to see my mamaw. My pepaw's passed away. My mamaw, we sat out on the front porch. Now, some things were just as idyllic as I remember. We had some sweet tea in a mason jar. It was glorious. And we sat out on the front porch and we talked about different things. And but as I began to look around, I noticed that there were weeds where there used to didn't be weeds. And the huge garden that I remember my mamaw and pepaw keeping was now no longer there. And just little things that had changed in my mind, little things that used to be pristine that were now a little bit run down. And it just reminded me that this world is not our home. And even though our peaceful place changes, God wants us to have our peace from within. So that regardless of how these places change, our situations change, our times change, our church changes, God wants us to have peace that comes from within. And so I love this passage of Scripture. It says, he doesn't make any pretense of promising us as the people on television do. You know, the religious people on television, they're going to tell you, you just send me that $1,000 seed faith, brother, and I'm going to sneeze on a handkerchief and mail it to you, and you're going to get $500,000, you know. Well, it's just, you know, those guys are making I looked it up the other day, some of those guys are worth $24-40 million off of poor people sending them their money. It's awful. It's sinful. I believe that there's probably a special place in hell for a lot of those so-called preachers that are doing that. Jesus said, in the world, you have tribulation. It's coming. You're going to have it. Don't be surprised, Paul said, right? Don't be surprised when these things come upon you. You're going to have tribulation. Those places that you, I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I almost idolized for a while that farm. I mean, in my head, it was just like, that is just the place. That's the place on this earth where I can be at peace and everything's good. But it's not just, it's just a place, you know? Weeds grow there, ticks are in the yard, you got to spray before you, I mean, you know, it's just a place, right? But Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you so that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. I love that. So, I'm not going to give you 3 points tonight. My introduction's been gosh awful long, but I'm a storyteller, so that's how we do things. I'm just going to give you 2 points tonight. The first point I want to give you is I want to talk about a position of peace, a position of peace. First of all, a position of peace, that place, that inner sense of peace and joy and contentment that comes from being in Christ, that regardless of what happens in our world, it's always there. It's entered into at a moment in time. It's entered into at a moment in time. Now, for a Sunday night crowd, you all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you're saved, when you're born again, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we're born again, listen, this may be familiar to us, but can we not gloss over the amazing significance of this statement? We have peace with God. We, you and I don't know your sins, but I know mine. And can I tell you, I don't deserve peace with God. There are times where I just feel lower than dirt. I feel awful. I feel terrible about my behavior or my attitude or the things I said or didn't say that I should have said. But then to know that in Christ, Romans also says that those who are in Christ are no longer under condemnation. That we have peace with God. That's a position of peace that's entered into when we're born again. John 3:36. I told you we'd come back to this tonight. He says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. Guys, it's not only is it entered into in a point in time, when we're born again, when we're justified, it's not just for the hereafter. This is huge. If you haven't been listening so far, if I've lost you, this is what you need to hear. When we are born again, we have, the Bible says in John 3:36, we have, meaning we possess right now, eternal life. It's not just something for the hereafter. We possess eternal life. You know, Jesus said that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but he came that we might have life, have it eternal, and have it abundant. Now, that's not the prosperity gospel. That's you and I get to enjoy right now in this life the benefits, the peace of having peace with God. That position of peace, we live in it if we would just get up every day and realize that and live in that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? It's significant that we have peace with God. It's significant that it's not just something for the hereafter. Why is that? Because when I think about my Mayberry, the article about the Army base, or when I think about my Levesque out there, that was my Mayberry. And I think about what the world has done to it and time has done to it. It almost makes you, when you catch that truth, you want to say, well, man, heaven, though, heaven's going to be so good. Heaven's going to be so sweet. No death, no crying, no pain. I love in the book of Revelation when it says Jesus is going to wipe the tears from our eyes. So powerful. But we're now in a battle. Right now we're in a war. We're not in the hereafter. Right now, he has us here. Regardless of who we are, he has us here. And then you get to thinking, why in the world am I here? It's like I said this morning. God allows me to have breath in my lungs. He allows my heart to beat so that I can share Jesus with others. You know? There's only a couple things, and I know y'all have probably heard this before, but there's only a couple things we're not going to be able to do in heaven. I do believe we're going to be able to eat up there. I do. And I praise God for that. Yes. I hope to watch some baseball out, Ray. I don't, you know, new heaven and a new earth. Why would we not play baseball in a new earth? I don't think we'll forget how the game's played. I think we'll play some baseball. I think we'll have some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I think heaven is just going to be so sweet and so amazing. But we're not there. We're not there. When we get up there, two things we can't do. We can't sin anymore. Sin can't be in the, God can't be in the presence of sin. Sin can't be in the presence of God. No more sin. And we can't share the gospel anymore because we're all saved. Now, there's only two things we can't do in heaven. Which one of those things do you think God has us here to do? It's certainly not to sin, right? And so it's important that we realize that we're not just sitting and idly waiting. You know, Jesus said, hey, occupy until I come, right? We're in a war. We're to take ground. The Word of God says that the gates of hell cannot withstand the church. That we're going after lost souls. And we're going with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Word of God. And the devil can't stand it. And he's going to come against us. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that are of the abundant life. It's not that we have an excess of material goods. Paige and I were talking about that country song, "It Can Buy Me a Boat." I don't know if I've ever heard that one. It's irreverent, maybe, but, you know, it's talking about, you know, they keep saying that money is the root of all evil, and you can't fit a camel through the eye of a needle. But it still sounds pretty cool, because it can buy me a boat. that's what the song says. And where was I going with that? That just came to my head. This is what I like about a Sunday night, too. Sometimes you can chase a rabbit and nobody even cares. And so let's move on, because I forgot where I was going with the Bobby the Boat concept. All right. So the first point is that position of peace. We are at peace with God. Let's just not miss how significant that is. I know we've heard it. I know it's been preached to us. I know it's been taught to us. But let's just for tonight remember how significant that is. Remember what it was like to be without a Savior, to be lost, to be in our sins. I sing to my daughter every single night the song "Amazing Grace" that saved a wretch like me. Let's remember that. But then the second thing is this, that's a posture of peace. See, when we have a position of peace, when we're at peace with God, we are then empowered to have a posture of peace. What is a posture of peace? Well, it's vertical. Vertical is the peace with God. Horizontal is the posture of peace. It's the peace with one another. Because God has forgiven us much, we can now forgive others. Should we forgive our brother 7 times? No, 70 times 7. And not just because we're going to get, and I don't know what 70 times 7 is. Who knows that? 490? It's not as if you have a tally sheet. Boy, you just wait. I'm at 485. I'm going to get you. No, it's that infinite forgiveness. Guys, we're just human, you know? I'm so glad that the Bible teaches that God knows who we are. I love that phrase when it talks about Jesus. Nobody had to tell Jesus about people. Jesus knew about people. Jesus is that same God of Israel who had seen that same people all through the book of Judges rebel and then cry out and then rebel and then cry out. Jesus knows people, and that is you, and that is me, and yet 1 John 1:9, if we come to him, if we confess, he's faithful, he's just, he forgives us, he wipes our slate clean. Now, I know it's harder for us to forgive one another. It just is. I'm just being honest. Sometimes it's just really difficult. In church life, can I just tell y'all, it's been a long time prior to this job before I was a church member. Now, right now, I get to be a church member, and I get to have my own pastor. And most people, I can't do much wrong because I'm not in really a position of leadership. I volunteer on the production team. I'm in the back. I'm in a closet, and it's great. When I was in the trenches of ministry week in and week out, I got hurt. I sat through meetings where I was the topic of discussion, and I'm in the meeting. And I remember crying crocodile tears as a grown man in front of a long table in what felt like a boardroom in front of people that were there to talk about and discuss me and my performance. And if you've never been in one of those meetings, can I just tell you, it is tough. I've also been the recipient of great love from people, invited into their homes, provided meals. When things are going rough in your family, they come by. When somebody dies, they call. They're there with you. So, guys, this is the church. Sometimes we get it wrong. We get it very wrong. Pastors mess up. Deacons mess up. Sunday school teachers mess up. All of us in the pews mess up. This is church member talking to church member here. Can we just be honest with each other? Sometimes we mess up. And then sometimes we get it really right. And in our memories, if we're not careful, we remember all the wrong and none of the right. And so when I talked to you last week, again, it's not out of a perception of any kind of deficiency here, because there's none. Not from me, and not from you. But I believe, because I'm a church member, that it's very possible that there are folks, even here tonight, that I'm looking at, and I don't know the stories, but who have been hurt by someone in this church over the last 10 years. And it's very possible that there's some pain that's still there. And can I tell you, I understand. There are folks who have hurt me that every time I think of them, and I'm talking about in the past, I'm talking about sometimes a few churches ago, that hurt me, that did me wrong, and they were in the wrong. They were absolutely in the wrong. They're not going to come to me. They're not going to apologize. They're not going to seek my forgiveness. But somebody said this: holding on to unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping it hurts the other person. Because that person, in all likelihood, has moved on with their life. And if they did it on purpose, they've probably forgotten about it. And it's very possible they don't even know what they did to hurt me. And so, the best thing for me, I'm being selfish here, the best thing for me to do is to just let it go. Is to just say, every time it comes to my mind, Jesus, yes, that person was wrong, I was right, but God, I release them, because I have certainly been in the wrong. And you are certainly in the right. And you saved a wretch like me. So I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody tonight that is experiencing this. But can I just tell you that we, and I'm not just saying this church, I'm saying every church in America, the church, we are family. And sometimes people in your family get on your nerves. I'm not going to say who in my family gets on my nerves, because I believe this is being recorded. And I don't want awkward family get-togethers. But there are people in my family that, I'm telling you, I'm a preacher, and you wouldn't believe this of me, but I have left family gatherings and I have told my wife I would like to punch him in the nose. And I was serious. If he'd have been right there in front of me, I would have decked him. And he's family. And I love him. Right? Now, how do I go back to that same family? Because guess what? They're family. They're going to be family till I die. I can avoid family gatherings. I can move over into another place for a different family reunion. If you can read between the lines there. But we're still family. And we're going to spend forever together. So at some point, those that have hurt us, it is beneficial for us to let that go and to forgive them. And so, for the benefit of the church, for the benefit of the family, and really, I'm just being, this is church member to church member here. I'm not your pastor, I'm not on your staff, I'm just a guy who sits in the pew every week like you do, unless I'm preaching like this. And I'm just telling you, we need to forgive one another, we need to love one another, because those are the things, if I'm just being honest with you, those are the things that are attractive to this generation that I'm dealing with. Those college students are not stupid. They see how we treat one another. And we look at them and wonder oftentimes, why are they not in church? It's because some of them grew up in church. And that is an indictment on all of us, myself included. So sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we get it right. But can we remember, man, we're family. Let's love one another. Let's forgive. Let's choose tonight, like he forgave us, let's forgive those who have hurt us. And then the Word of God says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. This might be one you'll write down or turn to. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. I just want to challenge you to dwell on these words as we close. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Do whatever I can do to be at peace with you. I can't control your actions, I can only control mine. But as far as it depends on me, do everything I can do to be at peace with you. And then when I go to bed at night, you may be mad at me, you may want to punch me in the nose, but I know that I can lay my head down on the pillow and sleep because I've done everything I can do to be at peace with all men. Is that a good word tonight? Let's pray. Father, for some of us, myself included, some of the things we've dealt with tonight can feel like stepping on our toes. God, we admit that we're all just a bunch of flawed humans down here. You see us. You know our hearts. You know our minds. There's nothing we can hide from you. And so, God, we humbly ask that you would empower us to be the church that you want us to be for the sake of those who have not yet trusted in Jesus Christ. God, would you do in this body, this local church, what it is that they've been praying for? Would you use them to reach this community for the glory of Jesus Christ? And God, it starts in all of our hearts. And it starts now rather than later. Father, would you move? Would you change hearts? Would you do what only you can do? And thank you, God. Thank you for putting up with me. God, thank you that even though I fail and I fail and I fail and I fail and I fail, I'm just like Peter. God, he denied you once. He denied you twice. He cussed and he denied you. And yet you still called him back to you. And you still chose to use him in that great revival that we see in the book of Acts, where thousands came to faith in Jesus. And I feel like that's me, Lord. Just a recipient, just an addict of your grace. Lord, that's us. And we thank you for your love. We pray these things, looking forward to that eternal home when things will be all right. In Jesus' name, amen.